And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live on this Wednesday morning edition of our podcast, broadcast, whatever we call it these days. But we're very happy to be with you on this Wednesday morning. And my name is Pastor John Love, and I will be hosting today's broadcast along with Pastor Barry Quirk, who's joined us in the studio, as he does usually each and every Wednesday. And we're glad to be together with you. And we want to wish everybody, or all of the women out there, a happy International Women's Day. Yes. That's today, correct?
Correct, it is.
That's incredible. And, of course, our theme, topic, subject this week on the Grace Hour is the subject of the ladies. women in ministry, what's their role? What's the significance of that role? What's their place? And, of course, there's a lot to say about this theme and subject, so we're going to discuss it together and invite you to join the conversation as well. We're going to open the phone lines right from the get-go here today, and that means you can join us simply by picking up a phone, dialing the following numbers, and participating in the broadcast along with our hosts here in the studio. It's 800-338-7060. And that is toll-free in all of North America, and the local number, 410-483-3700. We want to thank you very much for joining us for today's broadcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, you can join us for tomorrow's broadcast coming up in a little less than 24 hours from now. And we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And our first comment comes to us from our dear friend Carolyn Peters, and she's wishing everyone out there a happy Women's Day. And we just are been thinking about you, Carolyn. She's been battling cancer, and my understanding is that the prognosis is going well. The treatments have been well received, and she's on the mend. Good things are happening. Continue to hold her up in your prayers, as she is one of those precious dear saints here in our local assembly, and we love her greatly. And I know all of you that have the privilege of knowing her feel the same way. Welcome, Pastor Barry, and we're going to get things started here today. Happy International Women's Day to your wife and daughter. And
yes.
Of course, I have same wife and daughters.
Yes.
And I want to extend that well wishes to them as well.
Yes, my daughter let us know at 5:30 this morning. She's 6 hours ahead of us, so we get the early morning text, and she was making sure that Mom got a happy Mother's Day and that a Women's Day. And in return, we wished her a happy Women's Day as well. Carolyn, you are a fighter. We're very, very proud of you, and boy, you are a ladies' lady, and we're just praying that you keep up that awesome fight.
Amen.
You know, this conversation is interesting because it could really be very edifying, very satisfying, or it could be very negative and could come across in the wrong light. And I think one of the reasons we're taking a dive into this topic this morning, as we have been doing all this week, is to help people see that in the mind of God, there is an order, and He has created an order. And that order is not set up in a way that woman is subservient, but actually she has a great strength in her design. And any of us that have godly women around us, as we do, we understand that there's a lot of authority, there's a lot of, by design, a lot of ministry, a lot of areas of authority that we don't have the ability to have authority in. And that there is really a complementary position when it comes to men and women. You know, earlier this week, and I think it was maybe yesterday, Pastor Matt and Philippe also spoke on this topic, but on the two topics of egalitarianism and complementarianism. And just to summarize quickly the difference, in egalitarian circles, it's very easy question to answer. Egalitarians generally believe that men and women are equal in all respects and that gender differences are largely revitalized by the grace of the gospel. Therefore, whatever men do in the church, women may and should do likewise, case closed. And we would maybe have a little different viewpoint than that in the complementarian viewpoint, generally believe that men and women are equal with respect to dignity and worth, right? Which is a very valuable, important point to note, because equal with dignity and worth, and equal with respect to salvation graces, but different in respect to responsibility and role, which is really, in my mind, one of the crux arguments here, is that there's a responsibility and a role that are different between men and women. And the answers to the question is a little more complicated, and we can talk about it, but especially when it comes to this thought about being a deacon in the church, that was one of the questions is, you know, can a woman be a deacon in the church? And, you know, the role of the deacon and the role of the woman does not necessarily have to be mutually exclusive when we understand what the real meaning of the word deacon is.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when we fellowship together as believers, or when we are in Bible study, prayer meetings, church services, you know, we often talk about the biblical characters, and we think, you know, Abraham, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, John, I mean, you know, that's just to name a few. There's so many more. But alongside of those great men of the Bible are great women of the Bible. And so, you know, I look at this whole subject matter as God. On the contrary, there are some who would argue that, you know what, you know, biblical Christianity takes the place of women and just downgrades that. That's not the case. If anything, it exalts the place of women in the kingdom of God throughout the scriptures, because along with Moses, David, Isaac, Jacob, and the list goes on, you know, you have you have Eve, and you have Hannah, and you have Sarah, and you have Rahab, and, you know, that list can go on. You have Priscilla in the New Testament, whose name is mentioned, and Lydia. Their names are equally exalted along with the names of men. So this is an issue all about God's order.
Yes.
Rather than you know, men being more important or having a more significant place. It's not about that. It's just about the order of God in his kingdom.
Absolutely. And when we think about it right from the very beginning, when Adam is in the garden and he's naming all the animals and he sees the male animal and the female animal and he realizes, I'm lacking. There's something that I'm lacking and I don't have, I'm incomplete. So God gives him an ezer in the Hebrew, or a helpmeet. And we've talked about this in previous broadcasts, but that term isn't used to speak of a sycophant or, you know, a minion or a slave, but actually it's used to describe a great strength and support that was not there in man before woman was created. So when we look at the creation of a woman, she is the very completion of God's design for man. She is somebody who is complementary in every way, but has something that man absolutely does not have. So for us to think, you know, even from stepping back and saying, well, what is the place? We know that husbands are supposed to be heads over the wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Well, don't forget the most important part of that, which is submit the way that Christ, love your wives the way that Christ loved the church, and that was that he laid down his life for them. So this isn't an issue of lordship. You know, this is an issue of serving one another by love and being the covering and the protector. And as you said, there's many, many awesome ladies in the Bible. If you're a believer and you come to Bible school and you think, well, if I go to Bible school, I can only be a pastor or a missionary or a pastor's wife, you're missing the point. There are some incredible ladies in the body of Christ who have very valuable, important roles.
Yeah.
But they understand what that role is in the body of Christ, and they're not looking to usurp the roles of the spiritual father in a church, but they're looking to complement and to complete the vision that pastor or that spiritual father has in the ministry. They can be a very valuable part of that completion.
Yeah. I know Pastor Schaller just the other night in our church service here in Baltimore asked in the church audience if all the pastors would come up on the stage. And they, of course, assembled on the stage. And, you know, he just wanted to encourage them and edify them and let the body of Christ see these men that had been ordained throughout the years in our ministry, which was wonderful. But he also said very clearly, what about the women that stand beside these men? What about the women who support these men?
Yes.
What about the role that they play? It's equally as important, if not more important, because could some of these men even do what they do without the women who support them, love them, and stand with them in the call of God?
Yeah. A couple of things I'd love to address there. First of all, just to clarify, he asked the pastors to come up, and you notice I didn't come up. I was not one of those pastors.
I did notice that.
Now, I know that left a lot of room for judgment in the church. The secret behind it all is that I had a wardrobe malfunction that would not have been a good thing for me to be up on stage. So that's the clarification.
Appreciate that clarification.
It was not that I didn't want to sing in front of the body of Christ.
I have to say, you know, and I'm guilty of passing judgment on you. I thought he just does, because Pastor Schaller also asked us to come up and sing on stage.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go for that reason.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, you know, sometimes you have to give and take a little bit. So I went up and I looked out there and saw you sitting in the audience, and I thought, he just doesn't think he has a good voice.
No, actually, I'm in my shower. I have the best voice of anybody ever. So I'm not embarrassed to sing. I just was in a place where I didn't think it would be the wisest thing to do, number one. Number two, in our own personal lives, we could say that our ministry is only possible because of the ministry that we have in our home. Our wives, you know, we both are in ministries that demand a lot of your time, mm-hmm. of your attention. And we have, thankfully, wives who are very one with us in our ministry and want to support us in our ministry and also make it possible for us to have the ministry. You know, my daughter in Hungary was raised by her mom a lot in those days when I was the Bible school director and the assistant pastor and going to an outreach in Vienna or to Szolnok or, you know, just general outreaches in the city and being gone a lot. And my wife could look at that and go, oh my gosh, you're out here having a ministerial ball and I'm here raising our child. But it wasn't like that. She looked at her call and said, this is right now, this is the place that God has me so that we as a family can do what God's called us to do here in Hungary. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And it's not possible unless there's a laid down life behind the picture.
Yeah.
And again, to get back to the very beginning, there is an order that God created, and we could be bitter about that order, but you know, when we have an automobile, the engine has the major function of the car, but everything else is extremely important. If the engine is running perfectly, but the wheels are not attached to the car, or the chassis is bad, or the axles are bad, or the starter is bad, then the car doesn't run. So to say, well, that car is only as valuable as its engine, that's an incorrect assumption. And to say in the ministry that because, you know, the woman is not the head pastor in the church necessarily, that she doesn't have function or value in the church is a misnomer.
Yeah.
And it's important that we would remember that.
That's right. It would be making a great mistake. You know, Pastor Barry, my experience with these professional basketball players, the NBA players, I've noticed that throughout the years when I've asked and inquired about their faith and its beginnings and, you know, how did you first come to know the Lord, almost in every case, it was a godly mother.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a godly mother. Mm-hmm. And then just think of someone whose role in the scriptures is so significant and so important, both to the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, that is Moses. Well, we don't even read about Moses. We don't even know about Moses if he did not have a godly mother,
mm-hmm.
and did not live in fear of Pharaoh, who wanted all of the male children in Egypt to be killed. And she took her son and hid him and put him in a river in a basket and spared his life because she didn't fear the wrath of the king.
I mean,
that's a godly mother. So to downplay the significance of the role of women, either in the Old Testament or today in the New Testament, would be a great mistake made by anyone.
It is a great mistake. And actually, you know, we read in Romans 16 about Phoebe. and who was considered a deaconess. And we could say, you know, we could have our thoughts about that, and we could say, well, you know, that was a specific time and times have changed. And no, her calling was very much consistent with what we would find historically in those Eastern churches, that there was ladies who were very much called to be genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus and actually used in ways that were very important. And the underlying Greek word there, the diakonos, has a picture, but that we have to be careful not to read our modern-day understanding or political stance or any of these things into a first-century verse, right? We have to be able to say there was a need. There was a need. There was a need for younger ladies in the church who had never had the experience of what it meant to be a believer or how to support her husband in the call of God. These are all brand new situations, and there was a big need, as there is today, you know, for mature ladies to be able to help in the ministry. But also there is a difference between the office of a deaconess or a deacon and the office of a bishop, right? The presbyteros, that word for presbyteros or for elder or for leader is used multiple times in the New Testament. The female version of that, which is presbytera, I believe, is not used, mm-hmm. You know, to describe the office of a bishop or an elder being a female. So there is a distinction, but again, it's the design. Like, what is the call? What is the? How are we built? How did God formulate us? How did God, by design? I'm very, very thankful that there is a difference between the way a lady is designed and the way a man is designed in every way, physically, obviously, but even emotionally. Can you imagine, you know, a household raising up a child who falls down and hurts their knee and it's dad every time? You know, that kid is never going to receive any kind of tenderness.
That's right.
And God created very specifically a tenderness, and that tenderness has its place. And sometimes there's a need for the, come on, suck it up, get up, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, thank God on the ice rink when I was a little kid learning how to play hockey, it wasn't my mom always saying, oh, you got hurt, don't play anymore. You know, my dad told me to get gritty and get out there and play through it. But there was a place for both of those absolutely. In my life. It's a compliment, right? Yeah,
absolutely. And we want to make it very clear that in our ministry we have women that teach Bible studies to other women. We have women teaching in our Christian education program. We have women teachers in the Christian Day School. I mean, the roles that they can assume and function in are diverse and very extensive. And I think it's going to bring us all back to that one issue that so many people have somewhat of a difficulty comprehending and understanding, where Paul writes to Timothy and says, suffer not a woman to teach. Mm-hmm. Now, he's referring to, you know, taking the role of the pastorate,
right?
Being in that position and taking that authority and you know, and using it to teach men.
Yes.
I mean, that's just, again, this is God's order.
Yes.
This is not, you know, I'd go out on a limb and say this, Pastor Barry, they probably are smarter than we are. They probably have more wisdom than we do.
Let's not say that publicly. I know it's
more discernment than some men do. And there's no question about that.
Absolutely.
So we're not talking about their capacity or their value in the eyes of God. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna try to pick up a piece of information in my office. So I'm gonna leave the studio for a moment, but I want you to know, and I want our listeners to know, I'm not gonna leave you here long.
Yeah.
I'm going to return.
Okay. So here we go. So one of the things that Pastor Love just brought up that I think is an important note is that when it says suffer a woman not to teach, it's talking about exercising spiritual authority over a man. And I think by design, you know, God's design, again, is not that a woman would not have understanding of the situation. Actually, I think Pastor Love brings up a good point, and that is that as a responder, there's a lot of times when ladies actually have, you know, a better understanding of a situation, an awareness, a discernment. Maybe a man is a little bit numb, to the situation initially, but I think in the exercise of God's authority, the scripture is very clear. And that's why we did make the distinction that we made between not exercising authority over a man, but having the ability to be a servant of God, a disciple of God, somebody who has influence in the ministry. So I am just thinking a little bit here today about the ministry of women in the church. And actually, there's a few qualifying questions maybe that we could ask. Like, you know, so first of all, can a woman be a deacon in the church? Yes, I think the role of a deacon is really that is one of servitude. It is one of serving in a physical capacity when the need arises. And I don't see any physical or any obvious prohibition in the Bible about women not being able to serve that way. You know, and Phoebe is a good example of that. But then when we talk about what settings could a woman be involved more in the spiritual aspects, because we don't want to say, on the other hand, that just because a woman is not to be the spiritual head over a church, that they don't have any value as far as spirituality goes and the impartation of that spirituality. I think there is a very valuable piece to that. And as 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, it's talking about the specific church father role of teaching the doctrine of the church and of teaching, being led by the Spirit as the pastor and leader, which, by the way, has a lot of accountability. It's not just a recognition of who can do it, but it's who is physically built for the accountability for that situation. So the way I determine, or the way that we could determine what some aspects of how women could teach and even to some degree preach in the church, I think there's a few things that we could consider. There's the context. You know, the context is this in a congregational setting or a non-congregational setting? You know, if we're talking about a woman getting up in the congregation and teaching the Sunday morning service, exercising spiritual authority over the men in the church, including those other pastors who are in the church, we might have a concern about that. But is it testimonial? Is it inspirational? Is the person forcibly interpreting a text of scripture or sharing from their own life and their own experience with biblical support? I think there's a big difference. I think a woman who, as you mentioned, how many of those ladies in the Bible would we love to have get up in our pulpit and say, tell us what it was like to be with, you know, so-and-so. Well, how did you support him in his ministry? Mary, you were the one who went to the cross first and discovered, what was that like? We would love to hear that, right? But that does not mean that she's imparting spiritual authority over us. Another thing would be, you know, is it a governmental or a non-governmental, you know, issue? Am I establishing the official standard for the church when I get up and preach, or am I sharing something that God has expressed to me? And by the way, some of these points are taken from Mary Cassian, who's an author and a speaker and a professor of women's studies at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So this is, I think, from a very balanced approach. Mm-hmm. You know, is the relationship close or is it a distant relationship? Am I in a community relationship where I'm speaking to others that are, you know, going to be edified by this? Am I in a ladies' Bible study? Am I in a group of couples, maybe new people in the church, and I've been around for a long time and I'm sharing a thought from the word, but not in a way to exercise authority, but just to be a helper, you know, to suggest life to somebody else. And a couple more, you know, is it, and here's a good thing to think about is commitment. You know, is this a formal or an informal commitment? Have the listeners been made a formal commitment to me, or is this kind of, again, community? Is this like, am I signed up for a Bible study where Pastor so-and-so, she's going to do all the teaching for such and such a time? Or am I at some place where Pastor Schauer says, hey, we have our missionary, you know, Ava visiting us. Could you share something from what God's taught you over the course of this year? That's not exercising spiritual authority. That's expressing what God's doing in my life towards another person. So, and then we could go on and on, but really, you know, is this something that's habitual? Is it ongoing? Or is it something that's just spur of the moment? These are the things that God, you know, can help us in defining when we speak. And then as they speak in those situations, you know, and I can think of many people throughout the years that we've had here who have been really awesome ladies of God and who have shared their portions in ways that really gave us capacity and helped us understand and gave life to the body of Christ. And that did not mean that they were, you know, expressing their authority over the pastor of the church, but that they were complementing the vision by expressing what it is that Jesus Christ was doing in them.
Amen. Well said. Friends, we want to extend the invitation for you to join us. We're going to take our first call here in just a moment, but I'll give you the numbers again. Toll free throughout the nation, all of North America, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number. That can be dialed in the continental United States, also in Canada. So we welcome those of you that are listening north of the border as well. And the local number, 410-483-3700. Let's go up to, I believe it's Rochester, New York. Lauren, hopefully you've got something to share about our subject matter, Lauren. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Lauren, are you present?
Lauren has been silenced.
Well, we'll try to figure out what, if anything, might be the problem on our end. It could be a technical glitch here. We hope that you can hear us, Lauren, and if you can't, we apologize for that. But if we can connect with you, we'll do our very best to get you on the air and to share your thoughts with us. We'd love to hear from you. Hopefully you'll make that connection or we'll straighten out what the problem might be. How then, Pastor Barry, should we view the ministry of women in the church? Because what are we seeing these days now, perhaps more than ever? We're seeing women assuming the role of the pastorate in perhaps some nationally recognized churches, ministries, radio broadcasts, or even telecasts. How do we approach it? Because, you know, the believers wrestle with this because they want to be true to the scriptures, but yet they don't want to dismiss the fact that women have these gifts, these abilities that have been given to them by God to edify the body of Christ.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the questions that we could ask is, could God be sovereign in a situation? Are there situations where there's nobody willing, nobody able, nobody available to step up, and a woman says, you know, I will speak about the character of God, and here it is. And is that a solution for a season? I think so. I think God has used, you know, in his sovereignty has used situations. I think as a systematic thing, I think that there is an order to how things should be. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4 details the qualifications for an elder or for a bishop. As we mentioned earlier, these are seasoned male overseers. These are, it's the masculine use of the word. It's in the feminine use was presbytera, as we said. It's never used in reference to elders or shepherds. You can see that type of usage of that word for deaconesses or servants that are not ones who are held in authority over spiritual authority over men in the church. And then based on the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, the role of an elder is interchangeable with the role of a bishop or a pastor or an overseer. So again, there's that distinction between deaconess or helper or servant versus somebody who has spiritual authority. So, you know, I think there is a move in today's society to make our political or our, you know, our advancements. And I've kind of been getting a kick out of this lately that, you know, what we have accomplished in these last 100 years is amazing. I mean, in every way, when you think about America and all the inventions and all of the modernization, and, you know, if you need to find something out, you can look at your watch, or you can, things that we used to see as kids on the Jetsons, you can have a FaceTime, you know, just with your work, just like you would when this was Fantasyland. So there's so much advancement. And also, even in just the way that we consider roles, and there's so much, you know, modern thinking about it. And we are so quick, actually, to jump on board, or maybe to be moved by political leanings, or to be moved by the pressures of society to think a certain way. But really, when you think about that, the longest tenured human being on Earth now that it would have some influence in these matters has been here, what, 70, 80, 90 years maximum? And we would look at that and say, the authorities on the subject say, and we should embrace that. And if you don't embrace it, you're out of the picture, or the thinking incorrectly. The Bible's been around for thousands of years. And the scripture has stated from the beginning what the purpose is. And the scripture doesn't change. There's no variableness in him, right?
Yeah.
Now, the misconception is when we as believers start to throw at people that, you know, they don't have a place, or they should be subservient, or your place is to be silent and listen to me. No, when those things have been addressed throughout the scripture, and when you think of the church at Corinth and the formal dress and the plaiting of the hair, and there was an imbalance starting to happen in some of these areas, and it needed to be brought back into subjection. But there's been plenty of imbalances in men that have had to be brought back into subjection as well. And you know, so what would we say to people in this modern era that we live in? Well, let's not stray from the purpose that God has for us in the name of something that may or may not have reality, when the scripture, which has been there for thousands of years, tells us very clearly where we should and shouldn't go.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible has to be our guide.
Absolutely.
We cannot take our cues from the culture.
Yeah.
If we did that, we would be moving in a direction that would be inconsistent with what the scriptures teach. So to be true, biblically speaking, we take the position of what the scriptures teach. Now, there may be some debate over exactly, you know, how that all plays out.
Yes.
And the various roles that women should take. But again, from my perspective, and I think this is biblical, I think this is accurate, God elevates the role of the woman in his kingdom today, mm-hmm. like Absolutely. Never before. And I think that has been overlooked perhaps in the past. It has been missed.
Yes.
But again, the more accurately we study the scriptures, the more we see their value, we see their place, and we see their significance.
Mm-hmm.
Are we able to connect with Lauren? Let's try it. Lauren, can you hear us? And we mentioned earlier that hopefully you have a comment that's on our subject and theme matter today. Okay.
Lauren is still remaining silent.
Silent.
She's very doctrinal. Are you there, Lauren?
It seems like, again, we're just having some trouble. Some technical
glitches. Well, Pastor Love, the big verse that is bantered about in both sides of this issue is Galatians 3:28, right? The subject matter of verse 26 through 28 about there's no longer Jew nor Greek nor man, male nor female. What do you think about that when it comes to this topic?
Well, I think that the context of that passage is all about salvation.
Yes.
And in salvation, there's no distinction. Okay, we're not talking about somebody who was once a Jew, but now they're different, or once a Gentile, but now they're different. As God sees them, there is no difference. If you are justified by faith, you find acceptance in the sight of God. Your sins have been forgiven.
Yes.
You're placed in Christ. That's your eternal position. It's unchangeable. It's unalterable. It's as unchanging as God himself is.
Amen.
So, but to lose the distinction between a man and a woman, which is happening today in
Absolutely.
Our culture,
yeah.
You can't go there.
No, you can't. And actually, I love this thought, and yay and amen. There's no favorites in God's eyes, right? There's no favorites as far as the Jews or the Greeks. There's no favorites as far as man or woman. Every one of us is precious in the mind of God. We all have 100% access to the throne of grace. We all have been given a robe of righteousness. Every single one of us has been called and drawn with cords of love. And so there's no question about that, right? The value of a man and a woman, and we talk about this, I think I may have even given this illustration on the Grace Hour before, and we talk about this in high school. You know, you could approach it like man is a hammer and woman is a finely spun piece of silver, like a brooch that you would wear on a dress in former days. I probably am way outdated, but, you know, a finely spun silver. And when I was in Indonesia years and years ago, 30 plus years ago, there was these ladies on the beach that would sell these brooches that had been made, you know, finely spun silver and butterflies or different things. And they were really beautiful and they were cheap for the time, you know, $20 or something. And you come back to the States and they would be worth hundreds of dollars because they were such delicate jewelry. Mm. And then you say, well, what has more value, the hammer or the brooch? And somebody would say, well, of course, the brooch, the hammer, you could get that for $3 at Acme. Well, it depends. Are you looking to hit a nail in? Or are you looking to decorate your dress? Because the hammer on the dress is going to look kind of foolish, yeah. Right? So What could we say? Which one has more value? They both have value, but they serve a specific purpose. Now, to say that just because the hammer nails the nail in and it's loud and it's present and it's solid, that has a prevalent place in our society, and the brooch because it's weak and frail. You know, and this goes right to the point when the Lord says that the woman is the weaker vessel. Weaker does not indicate significance.
That's right.
It indicates physical makeup, mm-hmm. right? And again, in the design of God, when God said, here's man is going to have problems with each other. They're going to fight. They're going to need warriors. They're going to need, you know, people who can endure hardship and long hours and have the strength and not need as much sleep and be able to take a pounding. And, you know, he didn't say, well, let's put the ladies on the front line. Mm. No, now is that saying that the women are not significant in that society? No, try to see the society live its second generation without any women, mm-hmm. right? It's impossible. Everybody has a very distinct role, a very authoritative role, a very powerful role, but they are very different from one another.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's why it is an attack on Christianity today when we say that somebody should be able to choose their own identity, their own gender identity, mm-hmm. how I think I should be. We're saying is, God, you don't know what you were doing. You didn't know what you were doing when you created that person with these characteristics in this physiological situation.
Yeah.
And it's an attack on Christianity. Yeah. It's not just an attack on somebody's right to choose who they think they should be. You know, God in his infinite wisdom decided that I should be a man. Mm-hmm. In heaven, he'll reveal to me, or maybe he won't. I'm happy that he did it this way, but it was his decision. I had no choice in the matter, but I'm very thankful for the choice that he made for me.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's try the phones again. We were unable to connect with Lauren, but we're going to just try George. George is reaching out to us in the Grace Hour, would like to make a comment. George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wonderful.
Patch love.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're connected. Hey. Go ahead, yes. George. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Pastor Barry, I love what you've been saying about how the Word of God has been around for thousands of years, and that's how, you know, we apply it, you know. And also what you just made in this last comment about how when we talk about the woman being a weaker vessel, that's about physicality, you know. It's not about it's not about spirituality, because look at how many beautiful women we have in our ministry that you get up and they give a testimony. They're missionaries. They're on Grace Hour. We have ladies on Grace Hour, you know, that are very edifying, you know. It's like,
correct.
And the women have such a sweet spirit, and they're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and they're such a gift to us. I mean, you know, my wife, I love her dearly, you know, like, without that balance, you know, I'd be off the hook, you know what I'm saying? Like, she is my helpmate, God bless her, you know, I love her. And, you know, also, my cousins, you know, are saved, but they had called me one time, and he asked me, well, Georgie, what do you think about Joyce Myers? And I said, well, one thing I like about her, I says, she doesn't call herself Pastor Joyce Myers. Mm. So I went there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, they're getting built up by her. I'm not going to quench that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, if they like it, fine. If you like to, you know, a lot of the people on TV, or there are some that are okay, and there are some that, you know, are not so okay, you know. But just the fact that women are just such a – look at Esther. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You know, I mean, just so many times in the Bible, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, I mean, you know, we could go through all these key times where women are just such a key player. Martha, you know, like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, that's about it from Georgie right now.
Well, thank you, Georgie. I really appreciate your comments. I think very helpful, a good contribution to our conversation. Thanks for the call.
Hey, love you.
All right, let's see. Can we connect with Lauren?
Third time's a charm, Lauren.
Hopefully this will come through. Lauren, are you there, and what are your thoughts? Lauren, are you present with us? Well, in baseball, it's three strikes. You know that better than anybody, Lauren. You're a big baseball fan, so as far as today's program, you're out.
We're really sorry there, Lauren.
We apologize.
Hey, we did have one question here that I quickly wanted to address. You know, what spiritual authority with women, how would you say God's spiritual authority is biblically and otherwise affecting women in the world? One thing I love is that, and, you know, I don't, maybe this is, you know, the woman who is waiting for the morsel of bread at the table of the master, who says, even the dogs get the scraps, who, and I'm not speaking about her position there in that picture, but I am saying that her stubbornness in a godly manner is something that I think women have, a spiritual stubbornness that they are ready to hunker down when they know that God has a plan. And it may not always be verbally, you know, the pastor's wife who perceives the situation that's happening and maybe doesn't even say a lot to her husband, but prays for him and prays for God to reveal it to him, encourages him, you know, with a godly stubbornness. I like this as spiritual authority, that there is, I know what God has for us. I know God's mind for us, and I'm going to stay at it. And I'm going to be faithful to God and faithful to the call of God until, you know, the last days. And I just think that that's incredible. And we have such a fervent group of ladies in our church that you can, you know, we have ministry with together with. And we've seen people whose husbands have gone on to be with the Lord, and they're still right here. You know, you think of the precious Maggie and Yvonne and these ladies that are just following God wholeheartedly. Right. Yeah. And the fact that their husbands, their helpmates, they were the helpmate for, they're no longer with us, but their purpose in Christ didn't stop. They have been fervently, stubbornly following God, continuing to study God. It's such a testimony in my mind.
It sure is. I mean, who showed up at the tomb of Jesus after all of those disciples made tracks from him when he was arrested? It was the women.
Yes.
They showed up first. They did not fear the authorities. They did not fear the threats of the religious hierarchy at that time.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting too, Pastor Barry, is that when my first daughter was born, she was born with some very serious complications. We almost lost her. And I remember the physician, the surgeon, saying to us, you know, you're very, very fortunate that she was a little girl, because they're fighters.
Wow.
Wow. He said, you know, most little boys, he says, they don't fight.
Wow.
There's something lacking in them that you know, they, if they struggle physically at birth, they you know, the chances of them surviving are much less than if they are little girls.
Wow.
So they have that fight. They have that determination. They have that stubbornness that you're talking about. And, you know, she survived. The doctor said, I'm glad she's a little girl because she's going to survive. She's going to fight her way through.
Well, I have four sisters, so I know that that's a true statement.
I do, too. I do, too. Hey, let's see if we can take Lori's call. Lori is joining us from, I believe, out in the middle of the country. Lori? Welcome to the Grace Hour. Go ahead. Lori?
Are you there?
Yes, go right ahead. We can hear you.
Okay, great. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to make a comment on the topic. I think that a woman has a tremendous place of power because of God's role in a marriage, to submit to her husband. Because as Christ submitted to the Father, he had tremendous power.
Mm.
And as a in the spirit submits to her husband, she has so much power that God says she'll win him without a word.
Yes.
By that hidden man of her heart.
Yes.
That's a beautiful yeah. thought.
That's exactly what I was thinking about with that spiritual stubbornness, you know, that she might not do it with her words, but she does it with her faithfulness to prayer, her faithfulness to encouragement. And many times I've woken up from a slumber and said, you know, honey, I think I should be doing this with the Lord. And she'll just laugh and tell me later, yeah, for 6 months I knew that, but it took you that long to hear God's voice in it.
Well, she was quiet and
yes.
let you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But powerful, you're right.
Yeah, most women have to talk. They have to say, you need to do this or you need to do that. But maybe the Spirit's not leading them.
Mm.
Maybe the Spirit would lead them to be quiet and love their husband and not say anything. You know, I mean, it's just so important to be led by the Spirit in whatever role that you have. That's the key.
Mm.
And I think submission has a bad rap.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful place. A wonderful place because Jesus is our example.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, powerful thoughts from a powerful woman. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Lori.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Love you guys.
God
Love
bless you.
Thank you.
Hey, let's take our next caller, and he'll get the last word in today. Pastor Gary is joining us from Dover Plains, New York. Pastor Gary, welcome.
Well, thank you. God bless you. As you know, I had an open heart surgery about 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I'm doing great. Doctors and nurses, everybody says I'm on target.
Beautiful.
For recovery. Yeah. But thank you, everybody, for both here locally and as well as in Baltimore and then beyond, for all the prayers and concerns, calls, cards, just unbelievable. But I was just thinking about your topic today, and I wanted to give a shout out, an international shout out for my wife.
Mm.
I want to especially thank God for her, for Barbara. Her love, encouragement, strength, her tender, loving care are more than any of us could even imagine. Mm. And I say thank you, Barbara. Mm. I was just thinking about Lori's statement about the power that the women have in a relationship. Just for instance, we part of the workup afterwards is walking outdoors. And one day I said, you know, I think I walked far enough. She says, well, why don't you go around the block? She'll go to the short block. I said, nah, I think I want to go back to the house. She says, by the time you walk back to the house, you could have been walked around the block, so let's go.
Wise ladies.
Walk around the block.
Yes, yes.
But once again, just, you know, thinking about the women and just how thankful we are for our wives.
Amen. You've served notice to the rest of us, Pastor Gary, and on this International Women's Day, we salute all of you and thank you for your wonderful portion, and we're grateful for the elevated place that the Bible gives you, that God gives to all of the ladies in his kingdom. Mm. Pastor Barry, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Great program today. Thanks for joining us, friends, and we want to encourage you to join us again on the next live edition of the Grace Hour, the Thursday morning edition of the broadcast. We really appreciate it. May God bless you richly.
And much prayers appreciated for trips to Budapest for Eurocon. We're
That's right.
on our way tomorrow, my wife and I, and this is going to be a fantastic week ahead of us. So.
Amen. Have a great day, friends.